In today's episode, Samantha wants to be Yuffie, I stand by Dead or Alive Volleyball, and Mike thinks trains are kind of fun. This is The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker. This is my $1 million idea. Do not steal.
TM. It's mine now.
So when I get this, and I just want you guys to know that eventually one day you will be allowed to visit me in rich man's heaven. except for Samantha, according to her shirt.
Well, rich man's heaven is poor man's hell, so. And I'm pretty poor, so.
I've been watching a lot of Simpsons lately, as Mike is like, yeah, he stole that joke, too. All right, so...
I don't even remember it.
From the Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson and the hellfish, whatever they call that one.
Oh, yeah.
So this is where I would typically go, speaking of fish... No.
Oh, all right. Speaking of fish...
Oi there, small fry!
Oh, I didn't know. Did you know the game that we're talking about today? Mike is in it.
I am.
Yeah.
Except they call me Beetle.
Oh! Oh!
Well, welcome.
Thank
everyone.
You!
As soon as I heard that, I was like, Mike?
Welcome, everyone, to Funsphere Game Club, and in case you couldn't guess, today we're talking about The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker.
Hi. I'm Josh.
No, you're not.
Mike.
Say, you've already been named. I'm Josh, and
no, that's
course,
Samantha.
No, Samantha is joining us, as always. So, we're talking about this game. Mike, this is one that you wanted to talk about, so I'll give you the top. Go ahead. Run away with it. Or
well,
sail away with it, I should say.
The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, is a really fun game.
Okay.
About Link.
Yes.
And it's really good, and I made you guys play it.
You sure did, pal. You sure did.
I've played it 3 times.
Okay. Just to kind of give everyone the official thing, the Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker is an action-adventure game developed and published by Nintendo for the GameCube originally.
Did you know if you pre-ordered it, you got The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time / Ocarina of Time Master Quest?
I did, and I have a lot to say about that in a minute. But just to give you...
Hey, I'm running this episode.
Okay. All yours then.
What do you have to say about it right now?
Okay, I'll tell you... I think that announcement of the pre-order of that game was a direct response to the terrible, terrible response that the game's visual design received from the fans.
Defend yourself!
Okay, gladly. So, this was something that was basically released in North America specifically. And actually, the collection got to be so valuable to people that a lot of people would pre-order the game, get this, and then return the Wind Waker because they had no desire to play it.
They wouldn't.
I remember it very specifically going for high dollar at game stores and on eBay for a while.
Well, that never died. No. Even when we sold GameCube games, that usually went for more money than Wind Waker did.
Yes. Huh. I wonder why.
Little bitches.
Not because it's better, that's for sure.
Yeah. I don't like cartoons. I want 3D cartoon only. That's why.
Which is weird, because normally babies like cartoons. But not in this instance.
All right, so, and I would also just mention, of course, that there was a...
this is a natural dynamic that you'll never be able to break, Josh.
We hate nerds.
You are the natural leader. You are the only one capable of coherent and having us stay on task.
That's true. I was just going to mention, though, that there was a HD remake for the Nintendo Switch. For the Wii U. What was that? 2013?
Wii.
And it was quite a big improvement. And this is one of those games, as I think we're going to talk about here. When it came out, it was met with a very, very divisive view from people. But over time, I think everyone kind of agrees that the game is a pretty good Legend.
Everybody loved it by the time it came out on the Wii U. And one could argue that the Wii U version was the definitive version. That is, unless they push Breath of the Wild 2 back again. Maybe we'll see a new version.
I've got something to say about that, too.
Look at Mr. Yeah, Prepared.
I've got some talking points. Oh, I've got opinions on this game. Got opinions on this game.
Josh is coming back with a vengeance after that last episode.
So I'll just admit off the top, I was one of those people when this game was announced, I was excited until I saw the first visuals. And then I was very deeply disappointed.
Did they, I can't remember now, but did they... When they announced the game, did they announce the title as well, or was it like a tentative title?
Okay, so the way that I remember it is like this. They had the demonstration at...
Yeah, the GameCube tech demos.
The GameCube tech demos at the 2000 World Exposition is what that was called, where Nintendo officially announced the GameCube. Their successor to the N64. They show clips of games that came out. Luigi's Mansion. I think they announced the Resident Evil remake. Because that was a launch title. Am I right, Mike?
Not a launch title, but it was within the first year, I think.
Okay. And then, of course, they showed a tech demo featuring Link and Ganondorf and Link versus a spider at this thing. And that got a lot of buzz going on the still fairly new internet. I think they announced the title of the game, and then they showed the first visuals. And the more I kind of did research into this, that's the way I remember it, and I think it makes sense. Because reading over the timeline here, they did the... So the Wind Waker was technically in development before... that tech demo. Right after Majora's Mask wrapped up, they started doing this. They knew it was going to be the next console. They apparently started the development in the vein of Ocarina of Time with more realistic graphics and stuff like that. But this is also a departure because this is the first time that Shigeru Miyamoto was not the director of The Legend of Zelda main timeline or main game. He wasn't the director on Majora's Mask, but that was built on the game that he was the director on.
Mm-hmm.
The new director was a gentleman by the name of, oh my gosh, why can't I find out my notes? Anuma. Yes.
Yeah, the same guy who's still in charge.
Yes. So this is also I'd kind of draw on the line. This is where the what I'll call classical Zelda and new Zelda diverge, because we have a new director and he's taking over a beloved franchise, and he does a lot of things that people including myself from this point on, don't always like. So, like I said, so it looks like the response of why the Wind Waker looks like the Wind Waker was they were trying to develop the game, weren't really getting in too far. They whipped up this tech demo real quick because they needed to. And apparently Anuma hated that tech demo. And he hated the way the game was going. So basically he went and asked Miyamoto if he could do something different. And apparently the design became... somebody just in the office drew a goofy little sketch of a little Link. And then another guy drew a sketch of a Moblin, what it would look like. And from there on, they turned around real quick and developed the game. They had a pretty quick turnaround time for a Zelda, like 2 years, I think, total.
They were inspired, I guess.
They were something. But I think the bigger thing right now is this was during a pivotal moment in gaming as a whole. We were just about to begin the sixth console generation, and some new players had entered the scene, and these were some big players. The PlayStation
The 2, children.
the new generation, if you will.
We're children.
Microsoft and Sony came to play in this generation. This was Microsoft's first
entrance. I got what you were getting at.
yeah. So consoles. Basically, consoles, yes.
Sony was still around, though.
Yeah, this was their second console, but it just so happened to be the best-selling console of all time that came out in this generation. So, games were starting to diverge, I think, and the people that played it. Specifically, at this time in my life, I had just graduated high school and was getting ready to go to college. And I remember very vividly, like, keeping up with all this. Like, I was getting ready to figure out which console I was going to purchase next. I had been...
Before Josh shipped off to the war, he wanted one last Zelda. And Wind Waker was not his Zelda.
It was not. And I'll be honest, when I saw Wind Waker, I bought the Sony PlayStation 2 afterwards.
Because out of spite.
Not out of spite, Mike.
Did you have the GameCube before?
No, I did not. So
we're still talking before the game came out.
This is before the game came out, and I was literally like, oh, I know that they're doing that Resident Evil remake. That's going to be real cool. And I was like, I bet all this other stuff
Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron. That was great, too. So I had been playing my Nintendo 64, so I was really looking forward to the next Nintendo console, like I always had been. I did not buy a PlayStation 1. Like, I'd only played Sega, like, at friends' house and stuff like that. So this was where, when I saw this, and I think a lot of people mentioned it, actually a Kotaku article mentioned it as well, this is the point with the GameCube where, let me see here, I kind of want to get the quote because it was really good.
From Kotaku?
Yeah, this is old school Kotaku, not new one. This is where it seemed like Nintendo was really focusing still on making games for the family and for kids. And a lot of people that I knew...
Say that like it's a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's not a bad thing. But at the same time, other consoles were like, yeah, we're going to make those type of games too, but we're also going to have sports games. We're going to try to make more and more people interested. It's going to be more inclusive, I would say.
We're going
to
make sports games, Dead or Alive, Beach Volleyball.
First off, that's a hell of a volleyball game. It's a hell of a volleyball game.
The only thing bigger than the volleyballs are the bouncing boobs and butts.
But anyway, like I said, they were trying to get it aimed at the people that grew up playing video games. It's like, yeah, you don't always have to play Mario. You have different choices. P- Plus, I think this is a tech aspect that's worth mentioning with this stuff too. Is this is where the Xbox and the PlayStation were also DVD players, which was a very new technology and a very expensive technology at the time. And this is where Nintendo started to say, yeah, we see the demand for that, but we don't care. We're going to make consoles the way we want to make consoles, and your job is to shut up and give us money for these consoles.
How right they were.
Classic.
So this is where, I hate to say it, the Nintendo fanboy that was Josh...
died that day.
He died. He died and was replaced by me, the far more cynical and superior version of Josh. So, like I said, that's...
that's where the Dark Josh timeline began. The Dark Josh we have now is all because of Wind Waker.
All because of Wind Waker. Like, literally, I think about that sometimes. I was like, my console decisions from that point on were affected by this game.
Because he's like a man now. He needs a real man game.
Yeah, like...
beating up hookers and...
he's going to pay full price for the new Grand Theft Auto.
No,
I'm
not.
Remaster, remake, whatever.
I can assure you I am not. I will also not be one that buys GTA 5 for the third time whenever they bring out the newest console version of it.
Is that... is
they still haven't done it?
No, they're going to. They're like, yeah, we're going to have a specific Xbox One X and PS5 version. I was like, who are you selling that to? Because it sure as hell ain't me.
Well, and it sure as hell isn't most people since those consoles are so hard to find.
Is it... Is that game Rockstar's Elder Scrolls?
At this point, I know for a fact that it is technically the most successful game of all time just because of how long they've had it out and all the online versions and stuff like that. They're making money hand over fist. So,
well, they've all but abandoned every other IP except for Red Dead.
Yeah. And that was a fantastic game.
They used to have several other games that they did.
Yeah.
The first Red Dead, one of the guys in the podcast that Skid is in, he does a voice in that as one of the random people. So you can kill him. That's fun.
That is a neat little fact. So I was also going to bring this up because, like I said, I gave this whole speech about how the game thing was, the game scene was changing. Just thought I'd mention this for some raw numbers to show that I was not the only person that felt this way. The GameCube sold 21.74 million units worldwide in its lifespan. The Dreamcast, the last console for Sega, and one that I think was ahead of its time, only sold 9.13. Xbox sold 24 million units, so they beat Nintendo. That's a new guy coming in and taking down the king.
Did they beat him, though?
Yes. And they've continued.
I think the test of time will prove that GameCube resale... even the games sell for way more than any PS2 or Xbox games.
But here's the real eye-opener. PS2 sold over its lifespan 155 million units. That's more than all the others combined.
One of those my mom bought.
DVDs.
That's
DVDs.
That's how... was it help? That's how I was able to convince my mom it was worth investing in. I was like, it's also a DVD player.
Yep. And the same thing with the PlayStation 3. It's also a Blu-ray player.
Yep.
Actually, it was the best Blu-ray player on the market when it came out.
Until it bricked.
But then it just kept going. So that's kind of where, like, my stance on this is. I think the game is great. Like I said, it holds up totally as a Zelda game, but once you
shed your prejudice,
yeah,
you'll find that there's an amazing game to be played.
I'll tell you what, and I remember for a fact, you're the person that got me to play it. Years and years later. Because I think we were having this discussion at work one day, and I was like, I haven't played a Zelda since Ocarina of Time because of how Wind Waker looked. Or no, I specifically skipped Wind Waker and played the Twilight Princess like that. And you're like, you got to go back and give it a chance. And you were right. Like I said, I enjoy the game quite a bit, but I still hate how it looks. But I'll also say, on the other hand, I've seen the mock-up of how it would have looked if it wasn't cel-shaded, and it looks terrible. Like, I don't think the game would work in any way.
Well, and it brought up so many other things that you couldn't do if you didn't have that animation style. Like, we've never had a more expressive Link. Like, he conveys so many emotions that were totally devoid in any other Zelda, while still never opening his mouth. Something that I hope they continue forever. I don't ever want to hear a voice from Link.
I don't think you will.
I do in a really, like, it would just be hilarious.
Me, princess.
Yeah, if that becomes his canon voice throughout.
That was a great voice.
Throughout the game.
It does kind of sound like through his grunts that it could be that voice. Like the, ha! It could be that guy.
Like I said, for me, this is a big turning point for my whole relationship with Nintendo as a whole. Like, from this point on, I would buy their systems, but I would never...
Begrudgingly.
It was not begrudgingly. I would wait till they were, like, a year or two into their console life before I got one. Just because I'm like, I want to play the new Zelda, and I want to play a Metroid if they put one out. You know, but I was like, I no longer view Nintendo as being the company that saved video games. They totally did, but they got so, like, they were so convinced that they were doing things the right way that they weren't listening to their fan base, and they still thought that they were, you know, were the company that decided to put video games into the toy section. And that's the way we think it should still be sold. And then other guys came along and said,
we want video games in the adult section.
No.
Behind the curtains. That's where we want to buy our games.
Right by the lube.
No, like I said. Gross. But I just view it
as... Is that a progressive polishing cloth?
Yeah, I don't know where I got it, but...
Oy vey. So, I gotta say, as the oldest one, that's how I feel. How do you guys feel about this, if you remember this time, which Samantha may not, because she's so young.
I'm 32, also.
Shut up, whippersnapper.
But I don't remember when this game came out, because I was not paying attention. Actually, I think I do remember being intrigued by the art style, but I didn't have any video game consoles, so it was just sort of like... over my head.
I mean, I was in high school. I remember dealing with the flack of a lot of my peers being okay. Like, oh, it looks lame, kind of. I mean, echoing your sentiment. I don't know, I think I was optimistic though, because I was so sure, like, it's a Zelda game. They could never do wrong in a Zelda. They never have, so they never could. I would be proven wrong, but not yet. They still managed to exceed my expectations of what this game could be.
Mm-hmm.
My lord, did they. You could argue that this ended up being one of the darkest games.
Yeah.
If not the darkest game in the franchise. Like, I mean, it's not like they really, with as many shocks and surprises that no other Zelda game has had.
Yeah.
It was dark from the very beginning. Like, the whole story about the hero who never came.
Yeah.
And that's the reason they had to flood the world.
And this is also the first one that really started to give credence to the Nintendo Zelda timeline. Like, this one has direct references to previous games. Not just, like, little winks and nods. No, they're like, no, that happened. This is a...
In a way that makes sense. I still will argue that I don't buy the timeline that they created in, what is it, the Hyrule Historia book? Around when it was Skyward Sword when they tried to
Skyward
piece this
Sword
all together,
is when
right?
The official timeline came out, yes.
This one, they just made claims that, you know, there are many different links and many different princesses, and they're not supposed to tie together, but it does serve this overall good versus evil thing. Like, I'm fine with that. I didn't need them to try to give me a, this is Link if he died, and then...
No, like I said, that was just, I think that was more after the fact, that we were just like, we can kind of sort of make it work, but it doesn't. It's not clean. It's one of those things, you can't make it a timeline after you've gone so far and done so much with it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that was best left to fan speculation.
Yeah, leave it alone.
But, like I said, I agree with you. It plays like a great Zelda. It was definitely a worthy successor to...
Combat? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was like... I don't know how much better it was than the 64. Because, like, in the 64, the only similarities were really the lock-on targeting. But everything combat-wise was so much more polished, so much more smooth. All the combos and stuff.
I agree. Like I said, I think it's definitely got the chops as far as how it goes, how it plays and things like that. I just think that for me and for a lot of people, they're just never going to be able to get over how it looks.
Crazy.
Like, it apparently during the time, like, it was given the derisive title of Zelda because of
selling out.
Well, no, Zelda because of the cell shading.
Oh,
like
cell
that.
Shading.
And like we mentioned earlier, the whole idea of, like, Miyamoto was really surprised by how many people were like, nah, screw this game. I have no interest in the GameCube or anything like that just because of it. That I think that, like we mentioned, when those the Zelda collections came out, that's what they had to do to get people to pre-order this game. And like I said, it sold far less than they ever expected it to. They were expecting huge numbers out of it.
They were expecting people with taste.
Fools.
But here's the thing, though. I don't think that just the art style is all that killed it for these people, because I'll point to games like Beautiful Joe and stuff like that that have cell shading and stuff like that that were met with tremendous praise and acceptance from stuff.
But Beautiful Joe didn't have... predecessors, right?
Yeah, the preconceived expectations.
That's what I was gonna say. And speaking of those preconceived expectations, this is just a fun sphere note for all of our developer friends. Listen there. If you ever show a tech demo, for the love of God, never release it on the internet, or you're going to be plagued by demands for a game that you show until the end of time. Please see the response to this game as an example.
Final Fantasy VII.
And Final Fantasy VII. Do you remember what system that original tech demo came out for on that?
PS3. Yeah.
PS3. And we still haven't got the complete Final Fantasy VII remake.
I don't even want to play it. I want to play the Yuffie side story. But I think you have to buy... I think you have to buy the first part of regular Final Fantasy VII.
I believe that is correct, yes.
I just want to be Yuffie.
But please, as cool as you can make something look with an existing character, if you don't want it, if you don't have the plan to make that game, don't show it. Don't show it. Don't give people hope.
Don't tease.
Don't be a tease.
Do it. make one. Make it. You know what? Make a million PTs.
Oh. Now that's
never release a full game again. Just
that's technically I don't know if I would call. If I'd put that in the same boat. It's kind of its own thing. Like I get it. Like the I think it's an apt comparison. But that was one of those things. They were planning that game and then they just canceled it due to numerous shenanigans.
Very stupid.
Very stupid. But Konami don't care because they got Pachinko, so they're.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
The Silent Hills thing that was supposed to be with Guillermo del Toro.
Yes.
Oh, the.
Yeah. So
was
PT,
that it, Hideo Kojima was.
Yes, that was a preview for the Silent Hills reboot that never happened.
I was excited for that. I was excited to watch those games.
Yeah, that game was terrifying, too. That was actually a really good demo.
Spooky.
So, I would be remiss if I didn't say one gripe that I had with a game.
Okay.
It's not a perfect game. My biggest complaint is, and they fixed it, thankfully, on the Wii U version, but the way that you would map out your items, only the, like, everything that was a projectile, you would have to map it to the trigger, or else you couldn't move the C-stick while you moved the...
Yeah, I remember that.
Like looking and pressing the button. You couldn't do them both at the same time. Thankfully, they were able to, because you could walk while you were aiming.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Wii U version, they fixed it by using gyro controls if you're using one of the face buttons.
Yeah.
So that was annoying, having to toggle every projectile, since there are so many in this game.
There are a lot.
To the trigger.
So, go ahead, Samantha. You got anything?
I was just going to transition to the sound and the music because I really liked those things.
They were beautiful.
I was okay. Big fan of the.
I've never heard picking up a rupee be more rewarding than in this game. They're just so twinkly.
Yeah. I was going to say this is another time where kind of the torch had been passed. In The Legend of Zelda, because Koji Kondo was not the musical director on this game. He did work on it, but he kind of handed it off too. He was not the guy in totally in charge in it. I'm looking. I've got a notes on that too.
I think they did. I can't even remember if Ocarina and Majora's Mask. I think they did. Have a transitional music, like if you were encountering enemies, it would kind of move towards different music, but I thought they did a way better job in Wind Waker about transitioning events through musical cues.
Oh, man. My brain's so empty. But I was a huge fan of that fiddle guy because I love a good fiddle, especially in the autumn. It's like really nostalgic no matter what they're playing, as long as it's good.
It does fit autumn very well.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay.
It's a very like Irish Scottish kind of jig that the like the main theme.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was really whimsical. Like, it kind of reminded me of Kingdom Hearts at first a little bit, just the like whimsy and how the first Kingdom Hearts, like, the worlds are pretty empty just because of limitations, I guess, and still kind of cartoony, and then it just felt like, you know, you can kind of like feel the space.
Yeah,
it had a similar to that, and it almost tricked me into that. I remembered I hate puzzles.
Well, in the Man, they so nailed using the ocean as their main map. Like, the openness of it, the exploration aspect, like, you feel like a pirate being able to go and search for treasure. Like, that, just them picking this environment lent itself so well to all of the gameplay mechanics that they came up with. In a way that a game that maybe we'll talk about later, Skyward Sword, did not at all.
No, actually, the ocean stuff and the exploring was my favorite part of that game. And, like, so when you did have, the land missions and stuff like that, that was, like, a nice little kind of palate cleanser. And I remember that was the thing that people really didn't like about the GameCube version was how slow it was, and that's why there was the speed sale and the HD remake. But I don't personally, I never viewed it as being that terrible of a, or anything like that. Like I said,
yeah, you're not supposed to burn through it. You can't just like shoot through the ocean.
So, Mike, I got a question. Did you play the sequels to this game, the handheld sequels?
I did, and I beat them.
Okay.
I had a much higher opinion of Phantom Hourglass, but I straight up hated Spirit Tracks. And I was bummed that I hated it because I think trains are kind of fun.
Okay.
But it was just a way more restricted version of Phantom Hourglass.
And this was kind of rare that we actually got direct sequels. Like, the Phantom Hourglass is, it's direct sequel to Wind Waker, right?
Well, and I think it's something that only would have happened since the it being cel-shaded lent itself towards the limitations of the DS.
Okay.
Like, they were able to scale it back and it still be an acceptable looking game, you know?
Gotcha. So, I thought of one other thing that kind of bugs me about Zelda from this point on, from Wind Waker on. This is also the point where Nintendo started holding Zelda's hostage for the release of new systems. Because
I wouldn't even argue that. I would say my biggest complaint was this was the transition where every new game that came out needed to be some major gameplay mechanic.
Yes.
That led the series. Whether it be a Minish Cap, which was also an amazing game. But, I mean, Twilight Princess, it couldn't just be a new Zelda. You had to have the wolf element, too.
And the graphics in that game were a direct response to the criticism of this game.
I was going
to
ask.
Like,
yeah.
I was going to say, certainly. And I think they took it too far.
I like both.
I don't think they did. I think they did it fun, though, because it wasn't just a dark, like, mature Link. They made everything kind of a, like, all of the secondary characters in the game have kind of a weird Tim Burton-esque kind of look to them.
Like mid-2000s, like, not quite gothy, but like the punk goth scene type going on. Yeah. Like, that was definitely involved. And then I think, like, to that point, then they responded to that game with Skyward Sword by, oh, look how bright and colorful this one is. Because I think at this point where Zelda had been basically, if you had a problem with it, you had, like, little nitpicky type things. But I think from Wind Waker on, and I think it's probably mostly due to the original people stepping away, and, you know, when they tried something new, they were trying something new for a purpose. And these guys are just, well, it's Zelda, but we don't like doing the classic type Zelda, so we're going to change this one to the ocean. We're going to change this one has the light world and the dark world. And then this next one has Skylofts. And then the next game is barely a Zelda game at all, in my opinion.
What, Breath of the Wild?
Yes. I think that Breath of the Wild is a good game. I just don't think it's a good Zelda game. That's my hill I'm willing to die on.
Maybe I should try it.
You might like it. Just because
I think you would enjoy it. I haven't met anybody who doesn't enjoy the game.
Oh, no. Like I said, it's a perfectly good game, but I'd rather play Skyrim or something like that, which is, I think, more in the vein of that game. But I could also see the people that argue, like, well, it's just exploration, just like the very first Zelda. I'm like, yeah, but...
Yeah, but you got to find dungeons.
I think
that was my big gripe.
And items. Like, that was the one thing I will give the Anuma teams for this. They came up with some interesting items to use in the gameplay. Like, some of them were dumb. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm thinking of the top thing from Twilight Princess that you would ride on. But I was like, hey, at least it was interesting. And you could build stuff around it versus, yeah, we gave you 5 tools that you've always had. Enjoy. Go play around with 200 shrines.
You're going to say something else.
What?
You're going to say, go fuck yourself.
Go sit on your top and spin.
That's just where my mind went.
Yeah. But like I said, to get all that back, like I said, this is where Zelda was held hostage. Like, yeah, we totally developed this game for the GameCube. We're not putting it out until the Wii. We totally developed this game for the Wii. We're not putting it out until... Oh, wait, we developed this for the Wii U. Let's make it a Switch game. Like, and I think, unfortunately, since they've gotten away with it so many times, that's the way Zelda's will always be. I'm going to say it right here, right now. I don't think Breath of the Wild 2 will come out for the Switch.
Nah, it will.
What the heck is their next console even going to be?
I can't, especially with as late as this OLED model came out. I think they're going to try to make it way longer between next console cycles. What big change do you think they would bring?
Okay, I actually think that
it's this
if
big.
They... No, I kind of actually... We mentioned this a while back, Mike. I kind of want to see them... take the Switch and the Wii U idea and kind of mesh them together. Like, have the Switch be a totally portable system. We'll call it the Switch 2. But when you come home, you can...
Oh, yeah, to be able to
use it like a
simultaneously with the television and not one or the other.
And that gives you the opportunity to bring all your Wii U games that people never got the chance to play that you haven't already ported over to the Switch forward. And then eventually, if you ever wanted to, which they're Nintendo, so of course they won't, you could bring, I don't know, DS games to the online platform instead of the most requested games of, hey, can we get some Game Boy Advance and Game Boy games to play? No, you know what you can get? Like 10 N64 games, most of which we don't even hold the rights to anymore.
And a Sega Genesis collection that already exists.
Yes, and has been around for 3 console generations at this point. Like I said, this is just where Nintendo started to be that, well, we saved video games. We will do everything that we want to do. Shut up and give us your money. And some people, like certain people in this podcast,
Milk,
named Milk, will just be like, all right, I'm totally in every time. Where some of us took the opportunity to be like, hey, Nintendo, you're great. I'm always going to love your IPs. But my consoles will be the Switch, or the Nintendo console will always be the third or fourth choice for me to play a game. And it's basically just to play the franchises that I want.
Yeah.
Coming from a guy who got the N-Gage.
That's right. The N-Gage was hype. And I will also die on that hill.
The Switch is the first Nintendo console that I've owned, like non-handheld.
Okay.
And I didn't even buy it. Skid bought it for me.
And I will admit, will always defer to people like Mike on the handheld consoles because the handhelds have never been those things for me.
I've always loved the handhelds more than the home consoles.
I really loved the DS.
I don't know. I think it was about equal, though, where everybody else has a strong preference of the home consoles. Like, I still couldn't do without them, but I always had a special spot for the Game Boys and the DSs.
Do you ever think they'll make another handheld-only console?
Probably not, no.
You know why? Because they decided that you weren't ever going to get one. That's right. They said you're going to love your Switch, and you're going to love the Switch 2 or whatever.
What if the Switch, Switch Plus. 2 is just big DS? Just it folds in on itself. There's a screen on that.
It could. Well, does anybody else have anything to say about the Wind Waker?
Best death scene ever. Like final boss death.
A lot of people get like use that to show, speaking of evil.
Like how dark the game actually is.
Yeah. Like,
and in what other Zelda could you get away with stabbing Ganon through the head?
I would say the one directly after this one, Twilight Princess.
You mean
that. Did that happen in that one too? I can't even remember.
I can't remember. Like that one. I don't think we'll ever do an episode on that one. But yeah, like I said, that did kind of come out of nowhere. And then it kind of has a... And I will also say that was good. The one thing I liked about it was Zelda is not just an object in this game. She is a fully fledged out person.
Yeah, well, until you get to the halfway point of the game and he was like, all right, well, you just chill down in frozen Hyrule while I go save the day. But they do bring her out, and you wouldn't be able to kill Ganon if it weren't for her in that final battle. So that was cool.
Would you guys be mad if there was a Zelda game that came out where Zelda was actually the main character?
No, I think that they should do that.
Oh, I remember when they did do that.
That doesn't count. The CDI?
Yes, I am.
Well, I mean, like, a game they tried.
I think that that's been something that people have actually wanted to see for a long time, Samantha. And I think we'll probably see it in whenever the Breath of the Wild 2 comes out. Whatever it is, I imagine that she will be playable in some way, shape, or form.
There are a lot of different things they could do to keep this franchise alive if they thought it did start to feel stale. In the same way that they're doing like Star Wars or any of that, like you've created a world that's big enough that you can have these other games that even have totally different gameplay.
Yeah.
Not the stupid ass, the Dynasty Warriors? I hate those games. Not Dynasty Warriors specifically, but that style of game I cannot stand.
I believe they're called Musou games.
Okay, well, they suck ass.
Nice.
But outside of that, like, I mean, even Tingle got a spinoff game that was very different. Like, they need to, I think I would encourage them to take more risks on stuff like that.
Yeah.
I would too, because that's the good thing about The Legend of Zelda. It's a story told over and over again, but it's different each time. So I don't see that there's any problem with ever having a game where Zelda is the person you control and play. And or like even like there was a lot of speculation when the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer was shown that Ganondorf was someone that you were going to use and play.
I can't remember her name, but the sage that's in a lot of them, she was even in the original Zelda in the instruction manual.
Impa,
yeah. Like an Impa game would be cool, like an origin story.
There's a lot you could do with it, but I think unfortunately it's one of those things that you're going to run into people like me that are expecting a more traditional one, and like, I can't even imagine some of the vitriol that people online would have if they ever dared to show, oh, you're playing as a girl in this game that's in the Legend of Zelda
How
series.
How could I even swing a sword? What if I get my period?
You know what a brave developer...
We'll just see those people in hell.
Well.
Get out of here. Ugh.
before we see you all in hell, we'll see you all on the next episode of Fun Sphere Game Club. Goodbye.
Whatever this thing's called. This,
yeah.
Oh, the cat's biting the other one.
No,
stop
she's
it.
She's licking him. They groom each other a lot.
Oh, now she's sitting on him.
She yep. That's groomed. An evil cat. Evil cat. Like putting your headphones back on and then hearing, and also chlamydia.